Hello friends, I'll be covering chapter number 5 now, and this is titled as Strategic Formulation and Implementation of Performance Management. Okay, so let's see what is in store for us. Learning objectives, understand the broad objective role of performance management systems, understand the key implementation aspects of performance, understand the key steps involved in the implementation of a robust performance management system. And the structure and contents will flow in the following manner. Key aims, objective and role of performance management system. Characteristics of an ideal PMS. Implementation of PMS, a perspective. Key steps in development and implementation of a robust performance management strategy. And we talk about the legal and ethical considerations in formulation of performance management and rewards under regulatory scheme. Now, let's start off by talking about what is the purpose of a PMS. There's a strategic purpose to help top management achieve strategic business objectives, link organization goals with individual goals. We already done it in other chapters, I'm just going through it, right? Administrative role is to furnish valid and useful information for making administrative decisions, salary, promotions, transfers, termination, etc. Okay, information. To tell employees about how they are doing and areas of improvement, organizational and supervisors' expectations. About disseminating information, receiving as well as giving out information. That is the third role for this. Development of the human resources. Feedback, identification of strengths and weaknesses, training development programs. Organizational maintenance. Maintenance means every day's running has to go on well oiled without any gaps, without any problems. Workforce planning has to be done. And that is involving these points, talent inventory, assessing future training needs, evaluating performance achievement at organization level, effectiveness of HR initiatives. Documentation, data can be used to validate newly proposed selection instruments, important personal decisions, etc. Right? Top global trends that impact the performance management and reward strategy. Employee-led learning. This is a very, it's a trend that has come in the last about 15, 20 years. Employee-led learning. The company has got an idea that this, we need to do this, and they have a lot of inputs coming from different people, and employees have been given the openness to come out with ideas, with innovation, innovation, etc., so that they are given a strategic place in leading the company in the learning process. Organizations are moving away from the top-down framework and instead empowering employees to lead their own learning. Okay, there are the emergence of what is called a self-managed groups also in automobile industries and all that, right? The rise of everyday performance, the reinvention of the performance management is well underway. Instead of the much dreaded annual performance review, an everyday performance approach looks to provide regular feedback that continually drives performance, supports development and engages individuals. Personalized benefits. Aligning rewards with employee performance is the most important factor in increasing employee engagement. Instead of static one-off benefits, one-off means once-off benefits and bonuses that come only after a yearly performance review, high-performing organizations are embracing flexible, personalized benefits that respond to real-time performance milestones. There was a time when rewards were coming only once in a year. Today, we are getting rewards frequently. At the same time, our demands on us is also very frequent. So, it's a very concurrent thing that is going on, and that is a very useful new way of looking at it. It's a personalized benefit for employees. Employees earn more because of this compared to what it used to be when I started my career. A consumer-grade experience for job seekers. Shorter application forms, autofill, and the ability to pull information from social media profiles and cloud all contribute to an efficient application experience. Today, when I want an employee in my company, I don't have to really go through employment agencies or something. I have different sources like the LinkedIn is there, a professional group. We also have other links, and we also have word of mouth. Through that, we are able to get things that makes it a little more what we call it as consumer friendly, right? It doesn't become too much business like. Authentic employer branding. To attract top talent in a competitive labor market, it's necessary for organizations to cultivate a strong employer brand. These are all the different things that is impacting companies when the PMS and reward systems have been made into whatever it is, right? factors that appeal to job seekers: salary and employment benefits, employee benefits. Why not? Everybody goes, everybody wants this, right? Job security, work-life balance, work atmosphere, developmental opportunities. What is the characteristic of an ideal PMS? How should an ideal PMS be, ideally, as per this author? There's nothing ideal, but then some. Let's get some idea about what it is. Strategic congruence, alignment of individual goals with the unit and organization goals. I mentioned this in one of the earlier videos. Organization goals have to come down to the division level, division to department and department to the unit, to the person. Now, if all of them are aligned with each other, that is an ideal situation. Second is thoroughness. All employees, all major jobs spanning the entire review period and feedback on positive performance on areas of improvement. Okay. It should be extremely thorough, extremely clear cut that this is what is we need to know at every level. So there should be no dilution in terms of, you know, somebody knows only one part of it, somebody knows this part of it. Everybody is thorough in whatever they are doing and they're acting on. Practicality. It is easy to use, acceptable and cost effective. It should be an ideal PMS. An ideal PMS should be meaningful. Standards and evaluations important and relevant, only functions under control of employees, periodic and provided and provide for continual skill development of evaluators. Results should be used only for key personal decisions. Rest of it is all very easy to manage because it's got a meaningfulness of doing it, right? There should be specificity. Detailed and concrete guidance about what is expected and how to achieve it. Very, very specific without any ambiguity. Anybody who reads it should understand it. Identification of effective and ineffective performance. Distinguish between effective and ineffective behaviors and results. Between an ineffective and an effective performance, you can see it in the form of a behavior, the attitudes, the soft skills, which the person doesn't have or has, right? Reliability measures consistent and error-free, and validity measures include all important relevant facets and not contaminated. If I'm doing a study on somebody's transfer to a city, I only talk about the transfer part of it, and on that I'll be seeing whether whatever he is performing after the transfer, is it valid or not. I cannot contaminate it with other things about his personality or something. It is basically the whole thing will be focused on transfer and all the parameters controlling the transfer part of it, right? Acceptability and fairness. Fair, distributive, justice, procedural justice. It is very, very fair and square. It is mapping the person overall. Inclusiveness. Concerns for all the people who will be affected by the outcome. Openness. Performance evaluation frequently and feedback on an ongoing basis. Factual, open and honest. Correctability. Minimize subjective aspects. Appeal process. By mistake, if the subjectivity comes, there is always a scope to convert it into an objective approach. We are human beings, so we may make some errors, but we can always correct it. So the system has, ideal system should be having a correctiveness in it, right? Standardization, performance evaluated consistently across people and time, ongoing training of managers. Ethicality, evaluation done based on sufficient information objectively and respect the privacy of the employee. Okay, these have already been discussed in other module. Key strategies to improve implementation of PMS. What should I do as a long-term initiative to see that improvement of the PMS takes place? Understand the business environment impacting the performance. Business environment has got two, internal and external. In internal environment, we have got the strength and weaknesses. External to the organization is opportunities and threats. Opportunities and threats are always changing because outside the market, we have no control. Within the organization, I have a control, so I can do something to take care of it. Now, this business environment, I need to understand how it is impacting the performance, inside as well as outside put together, right? Proper performance management planning is very important. Periodic performance review is important. Objective feedback on performance, coaching and mentoring approach, adequate rewards and recognition aligned to the business strategy. Develop a vision and define the mission of the organization. Set organization goals. Set departmental, section and individual job goals. From the macro to the micro we come, right? Decide other company parameters, conduct performance review and feedback. Use appraisal documents as a basis for reward, right? Key reasons for measuring employee performance. Why are we measuring employee performance? What's the reason? Means of communicating corporate objectives to him and his objectives to the company in turn. Synchronizing departmental team objectives with corporate goals. Everybody has to come in line. Aligning or synchronizing all the departments functioning into the company's ultimate goal, which we need to achieve. production has to manufacture so many cars. The marketing has to sell so many cars. The finance has to bill for so many cars and get the money back, get the money into their kitty. So all these three people are doing three different specialized jobs, but they all have to be synergizing with the organization goals of being a car manufacturing unit number one in the market. Okay. So that is congruence. SWOT analysis for employees, improvement, training, motivation, strength, weaknesses, opportunities and threats for employees, right? Use for salary review, promotion and transfer forms the basis for counseling, coaching and mentoring. Constraints in linking rewards with performance. Whenever I'm linking rewards with performance, there are bound to be certain amount of misunderstandings, certain misconceptions, etc. Because rewards are tangible and performance has got a combination of tangible and intangible. And so there's a likelihood of people perceiving it subjectively, right? So statutory compliance is one of the things that is very important. Following the law of the land, the company law, company laws have been laid down. So that compliance is very important in ensuring that you are taking care of it properly. Industry-wise wage boards. Every industry has got its own wage limits and wage boards. So depending upon the industry, depending upon the nature of the jobs, the wages are created by the wage board accordingly. So those wage boards have to be also factored when you make a proper reward linking system, right? Lack of mutual trust, operative long-term settlements done in collective bargaining. Okay. Now, collective bargaining is all about, you know, unions coming together, talking on behalf of employees who cannot individually address it, and they getting something done for themselves in the form of, you know, some demand. And that demand, long-term settlements take place. Now, this can come in the way of a PMS, because a long-term settlement means when, no matter what you do, this is awarded to you. So this is one of the constraints. Lack of mutual trust, lack of vision and innovative approaches by management, lack of system-based in fairness, fear of personal authority and whims and fancies of people, right? What are the key insights to deliver effective practice of performance management? Clarity in organization goals. Number one, translate organization goals into individual team, departmental and division goals. Rely on consensus and cooperation rather than control or coercion. Don't get into pushy thing. Don't be aggressive. Learn to rely on consensus, which is all about groups, opinions, everything coming together. Majority of the people and cooperation. Improve performance over a period of time on continuous basis. Encourage self-management of individual performance. Encourage self-management of individual performance. Promote open and honest leadership styles that encourage two-way communication. Ensure continuous feedback. Monitor and measure performance against jointly agreed goals and don't limit linking performance only to financial rewards. So you need to look beyond that. This has been told number of times in the session. So that's one thing. What are high performance work practice? People who are into high performance or organizations which are high performance in nature, they have self-directed work teams and problem solving groups. I mentioned this earlier. They have job rotation. They have high level of training, coaching and mentoring. They follow TQM, total quality management procedures and practices. They encourage innovation and creative behavior. What are high performance work practices? They are contingent pay based performance. Contingent pay based performance. So whatever is performance which varies from time to time, contingent to that, the pay is properly taken care of. Higher you perform, the higher you paid. If it's not higher, you don't get paid higher. So which means, you being a high performance employee will ensure that you are always performing high. You are the top gun status. Significant amount of information sharing, employee attitude surveys, cross-functional integration, comprehensive employee recruitment and selection procedures, identify accomplishments, identify requirements, identify exemplary performance, measure exemplary performance. Exemplary performance is a performance which is path-breaking, which is something very, very different. It's a champion performance. Identify that and also learn to measure that so that that becomes a benchmark for others to perform. Measure typical performance. Assess the potential of improving performance. Translate this potential into stakes, a measure of economic potential. Translate this potential into stakes, a measure of economic potential. So whatever is the potential, this is worth so much of value in terms of what I can reward you. So would you like to perform? Why don't you perform? That type of a thing, right? Seven factor model factors for diagnosing performance problems. If there's a performance issue, these are the seven factors according to the author that we need to look into. Aptitude of the individual, whether he really has the aptitude to do something or he's just faking it. Skill level, is he skilled enough or not? Understanding of the task, does he understand what needs to be done as a task or is he fumbling around? Does he have enough of motivation inside him? Does he feel motivated? Does he feel the need to get it done? Degree of effort, is he putting in requisite amount of effort that is required? Choice to persist, is he choosing to persist even if things are getting delayed? Is he a person who's got perseverance, in short? It's a very important quality. And outside factors, are there outside factors that are influencing him? Does he know how to handle them? Right? General conditions to task performance, we must have a task clarity, task competence, task competition, task cooperation, task control, task commitment, task charter and context. All these are very common things, everybody knows it. So we have to just get in, there's a checklist to know that we should do these things. Right? Future reward approach. Current performance management on the left hand side to what I'm seeing, on the right hand side to what I'm seeing, you'll find aim for future reward approach. Current performance management is too complex, not aligned with overall corporate performance. So future reward approach will be to achieve better balance between short and long term performance. Current performance management says weak in differentiating between high and poor performance because they don't have the system to do it, they don't have the process to do it. Whereas a future reward approach will be to achieve better balance between tangible and intangible benefits. No risk management within the performance management process in a current performance management. Whereas a future aim for future reward approach to achieve better balance between base and variable pay. Fixed and variable, base and variable pay. No financial measures in performance assessment, current performance management practice. Whereas if you're going in for a future reward approach, involve line management in the reward process, transparency and communication for employees. Okay. Reward risk audit. Reward risk audit. What's an audit? Audit is basically I'm taking stock of something to check whether it has gone in the proper path or not. There is a compliance path. You have to follow that. So we do an audit. We have statutory audit for companies, as all of us know. We do auditing of our own accounts. So those are basically audits. So what am I doing here? I'm doing a risk audit. I've taken a risk. Was the risk worth it or not? To what extent the risk I stretched? What is the price? What is the payoff? That's the audit. That's a stock taking I'm doing, right? Increasing globalization leads to juggling with demands of local regulation, market conditions, culture and tax structures. Now, if my organization is globalized, I'm doing a lot of global business, it could involve, I may have to do a lot of juggling with my local regulation of the different countries where I am. Because I may not know the full laws of the land, I may have to make some adjustments and stuff like that. It's a risk and it requires a creative leadership approach. So the country manager or whoever is sitting in that country should be able to understand this and go around, do it very skillfully. Market conditions, the culture and the tax structures in different countries. All these are for globalization. Identify and assess risk inherent in reward program. Don't reduce risk at the cost of innovation and competitiveness. Transparency and clarity from leadership about organization's actions and reward strategy should drive performance. Transparency, clarity is very important. In the earlier point, we must assess risks in the reward program. Very important. Employee incentive and ethics. Goal fixation can have a profound impact on employee behavior. Goal fixation can have a profound impact on the employee behavior. Setting compensation goals can increase dishonesty when managers are also paid a bonus for hitting certain targets. Okay. So we have to be very clear about one thing. That when you set this compensation goals, it might bring about certain dishonest practices when the managers are also paid a bonus for hitting certain targets. So it should be something which is balanced. You hit a target, you get paid, and for compensation of a certain variable type also you get paid. So both ways, there'll be a lot of jugaad that will take place. Jugaad is what we call juggling. So the compensation package coming under the reward system should be made in such a way that there is no clash between the tangible and the intangible, in short. Unintended negative consequences can lead to dishonesty, unethical behavior, increased risk taking, escalation of commitment, depletion of self-control, loss of quality, okay, loss of promises made, So many things will happen, right? These are some of the things which we must be very watchful about. And with this, I conclude this session. Before I conclude, I would like to say a few words on this. It's important for us to know that when we are designing a performance management system, the unitary activity is with the human being. And he or she has to ensure that he imbibes qualities which are more important than just doing the target-oriented task. The more we understand this, it becomes easier for us to know the broader aspects of PMS. Those of us who are working in a global environment where you are traveling frequently to other countries, you are even staying in certain other countries for a long period of time, you must learn to study the PMS prevalent there and all the factors that are affecting the PMS there. There will be one broad corporate PMS for the company at the top in the parent country, and the other countries where this same company is located, you will have different types of PMSs, but not majorly different from the parent one corporate PMS. Okay, this is how it operates because the culture is the same. Locations may be different, but PMS will be slightly modified. Right? So with this, I end the session. Thank you very much for listening.